And this is General Kalen Shaw.
I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm Bud Dickman.
I'm Robert Leonard.
And I'm Phil Hendry.
And I'm Margaret Gray.
I'm not going to do that again.
I was waiting to hit the post, all right?
Margaret, I think we just hit the post. I think, or the post hit us. It's the Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California.
Yeah!
Today on the show, we're going to have on Jackson Armstrong. Going to talk about, well, no, not Jackson Armstrong.
It was going to be Jackson Armstrong. I believe it's going to be Steve Bozell. He identifies and is sympathetic to the plight of Steve Bannon. And we'll also have comments about the further problems there with the United Airlines, right?
And Bobby Dooley and I will talk about the forthcoming barroom, or I should say bar fight showcase.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting.
And that's later on today. I guess this is the first bar fight features she and I. Is that it?
Well, yeah, you two have a long-standing enmity.
Yeah, there was.
Don't say it.
All right, now I agreed with Margaret that we wouldn't bring up a certain event.
You're going to have a lot of people out there wondering
what went down.
Yeah, that's pretty much.
I told her. I mean, I told you that, Margaret, didn't I? Yeah,
don't refer to me in the third person.
All right, Margaret, but Phil said people are going to be interested.
All right, it was all over Twitter anyway. Bobby and I got into it, physically, and it was a rough go.
I'll say it was. Good Lord.
All right, let's not make a big thing out of it. So the bar fight promotion, tell us all about this.
Starting today, you guys are listening to the show right now, go over to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/...
Phil Hendry.
I got it, bud, okay?
Yeah, button in for it, bud.
I got it right here. I wrote it down.
Good, thank you. Go ahead, bud. Where do they go?
Go over to facebook.com/ Phil Hendry fans, but you don't spell fans with a F, you spell it with a PH.
Well, Ben, just spell it out.
All right.
Spell it out.
What do you say?
Spell it out, bud. PH.
Oh, yeah, PHANS.
All right, so go to our website, Phil Hendry. Go to our, this is our fan page at Facebook. facebook.com/ Phil Hendry fans, and look for the bar fight exhibition, what are we calling that anyway?
I think it's the bar fight showcase, or it's the bar fight event.
Yeah, the various bar fight events, but go ahead and enter the porthole to the bar fights there, and we're going to be featuring a couple of our guests, a couple of our characters, going at it with each other, or at least we're going to have you vote on it, okay?
Well, so there's not going to be a real fight.
No, what we're essentially doing is we're pairing you guys off, and then the listeners vote on who will win. And it's very, very easy to do, folks. You just click on the head of the person that you think will win.
Oh, they're clicking on the head, huh?
Yeah, that's probably where a lot of these bar fights should have taken place, in the head.
All right, well...
What does that mean?
I don't know. The whole thing seems a little grungy. And what was that guy, Phil, you had on the show?
I'm asking you, do we say in the head, though, that bespeaks, like, what do we, urinate on each other?
Come on, will you, Margaret?
Well, I don't know.
By the way, Phil, I'll just bypass that. You had on the show that dentist who opened up some dental offices near bars.
Yeah, because everybody, we get in a fight,
then I get the teeth knocked out.
Yeah, I don't know who that guy was, but we got to have him back.
This is a guy that did what? He did dental work when people got their teeth kicked in, right?
Yeah, and so, see, he had this. I have no idea whether the guy was successful or not. These bar fights, you can access them at our website, at our Facebook fan page. That's facebook.com/ Phil Hendry fans, PHANS, and go to the little bar fight post there and enter the bar fight arena and pick who you think will win in the current bar fight, which I think is going to be you and Bobby.
Well, you know, you guys want to talk about what Bobby and I went through was a physical altercation, yes. And it was brought on by a confrontation on Twitter. It took a lot of months to cool that one out, as they say.
Wow, you guys are real street people, huh?
General, don't do it, please. Don't do it, man. Don't do it, General. 10 years for killing an enlisted man.
Yes, I understand.
So the... So, yeah, one of these days we'll have to hear about it. All I know about that is that Frank had to intervene. I mean, it was ugly.
Yeah, Frank had a call back east.
Tut, 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 tut.
Yeah, I don't want to say that.
What do you mean Frank had to call back east?
Tut, tut.
You know what? It's a...
Oh.
Anyway, so that's all That's all putted. I was going to say put it. It's all putting.
It's all put.
All put behind us, yes.
So head over to facebook.com/ Phil Henry Fans, PHANS, and vote on the individual. Vote either Margaret or Bobby. Who do you think is going to win our initial bar fight? Okay? Now, and also give your reasons for that. Give your reasons for that. Now, we, what is, how do you win this thing, though, man? I completely, totally spaced on that.
You got to pick out whoever wins, whoever picks the right one.
Is whoever picks the right one?
Yeah.
All right, I don't know. I mean, so you take a guess, and if the bar fight is in your favor, I think, then you get a download.
So they get a free download if they guess correctly.
Exactly. So now what you have to do is go and you enter in your email address, and you also tell us why you think they're going to win this bar fight.
Now, what is with the bar fight? I don't understand that, Phil.
Tell like Mr. Henry's audience.
It's Mr. Henry's audience. Are you kidding me?
I don't know. We have a very male audience, so...
So you do bar fights. Well, you guys, there isn't a sewer you won't crawl through, is there?
Margaret, come on. It's all for fun, huh?
And of course you want to see two women going at it. Excuse me, don't do that, bud.
Well, you said going at it.
Oh, you're filthy.
Hey, come on. He didn't mean that.
You think so?
God. Yeah, we want to see two females. Good. Fighting, not...
Yeah, not going at it like you're not...
Don't say it.
As in having sex. That's on you, bud.
Hey, what are you getting?
Yeah, there's more where that came from.
Let's be... God. That's my shot glass, man. Watch it.
You got a million of them. What do you care?
Good point. All right, let's go over
Phil
to...
Phil Henry Show Traffic.
Bob, the guys find out about the traffic, Bob.
I told you they got bumping freeway right now. You have to have a time, but there's an antelope that came in, and it caved in over there pretty well. So before you do anything, make sure you got your trousers and put your trousers on with one leg at a time. I do that every morning. Every time I do it, I'm right on an antelope out there on the freeway. I got to put my trousers on one leg at a time, one antelope at a time. Let's go to the point and watch him down. All right, let's see a Sky Boy. How about it?
I mean, I got that family member. There's a Sally Bastard old fancy. Don't leave. There's a bunch of old people out there that can't then get one of them over with the truck, too. So, by the way, it took about 15 minutes to get through that. And they finally get through to a bunch of nuns and little tiny kids going across the freeway. I don't know why they're doing that, but go ahead and floor it. Go right on through there. Let's go to Boyd Sky Baby Sweetin.
No, 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 da, da, da.
Ew, what's that all over my foot? Boyd Sky Baby Sweetan.
Hi, Nutsy Jones here for the great quality of Stack Motor Oil. You know, a lot of you guys out there don't even change the motor oil in your car, and why should you? You don't even think about it, right? And you don't even remember to take it over to the place where you get the oil changed. Well, Stack Motor Oil will do it all for you. As soon as it gets sick and tired of being inside your engine, it'll just drain itself right out. It'll give you about a half an hour to 45 minutes to find a mechanic where they can save the engine before it starts to blow a rod or drop something or, you know, all kinds of black and white smoke pouring out of the exhaust. You know, you've been there before. Take it from me, Nutsy Jones, Stack Motor Oil. It drains itself right out of your car. Gives you a half hour to 45 minutes to find a mechanic to save the engine, and if not, you're on your own, friend. Stack Motor Oil, you're on your own, friend. Gives you a half hour to 45 minutes to find a mechanic and save that engine from blowing apart. Stack Motor Oil. Get it now at your local motor oil dealer. I don't know if they're carrying it yet, but you can try. Do you only have one leg? Come into the Hershaw Dance Centers. Yes, you can sit there, eat pie and cake, and watch people with two legs dance. If you've only got one leg or one arm, you can walk around on your peg leg and go and get yourself something to drink, but you will never be allowed to dance. Yes, the wonderful rhythms of the Hershaw Orchestra at the Hershaw Dance Centers. Come on in. Bring your one leg in, sit and stare at people with two legs dancing. Cruel? Meaningless? Unusually cruel and meaningless? All of that and more. Yes, 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 I give it to you, yes. The Hershaw Dance Studios. If you've got one leg, it ain't enough. So why would anybody come there? Because you get in free. What, how's that, no?
This is winning ugly. That's something we do around here.
I guess so. Win it ugly here. World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. So, as we were saying before we were so rudely interrupted, and I say I'm just joking around with that, Margaret. We have Bobby Dooley at the Western Estates Homeowners Association talk with us about this bar fight. This is the first big bar fight on our website. And you access it by going to the fan page, though. Remember, go to facebook.com/PhilHenryFans to get to our bar fight section there. Bobby, I don't know where you were. It sounds like you're at... where were you, anyway?
Oh, you know what, Phil? It's probably just the electric lights here that are giving off a very strange sound. I'm in the community center. We've been meaning to... Is that the fluorescent, Steve?
Yeah, probably the fluorescent.
Yeah, we've been meaning to replace that.
So we're, we want to talk with you and Margaret about the bar fight. And possibly any other altercations you guys have had.
Now, I want to be very careful about how we talk about this, Bobby.
That's fine with me. Because, frankly, I think that what happened that day behind the sit and sleep over there on Ventura Boulevard was...
Behind the what?
Behind the old... it was an old store, an old mattress store, sit and sleep. And she had given me some crap.
Excuse me, are you going to tell the whole story?
Well, what are you going
to
say?
I just wanted to say that the sucker punch is really what led to...
Your sucker punch?
What do you mean, my sucker punch?
Because that's what kicked it off. When you said you wanted to talk to me, I met you behind that sit and sleep. I got out of Frank's Mercedes, okay? And
yes, I understand. And we got out of our Lincoln Navigator.
And you walked right toward me and said, I want to talk to you. And as soon as you got within a foot, you stuck that left hand out.
I did not, to my recollection, stick. If I did, I was defending myself.
No, you were not. You said, oh, let me talk to you about something for a minute. And then came the left jab.
Jesus, that's kind of not very fair, Bobby.
I don't remember anything. What I do remember is you headlocking me and uppercutting me three times and then just dropping me to the pavement.
You remember that?
I remember waking up from it. Yes. Now, I know, Phil, that this is something that has been gone through and talked about, and it's years old. But as long as you've got the two of us teamed up for a bar fight, let's talk about who won that fight.
Yes, thank you. Margaret Gray over here.
Where do you get off with that?
Are you kidding me or something? My wife...
As I remember, I won that fight when I uppercutted you. You lost two teeth, didn't you?
You know, that is so...
Yeah, technically my wife lost a couple of teeth. It wasn't in front of punch, though. She bit her tongue.
I bit my tongue.
How does that get you to lose two teeth?
Who's this?
Phil Henry.
Why, what are you talking for? It's the two ladies.
Hey, Steve, it's my show.
Okay.
Hey, look at Dooley, just stay out of this. I want to ask either one of you ladies. You say that you're not sure who won the fight?
I know who won the fight. It was me. It lasted 30 seconds. When Bobby got out of her Lincoln Navigator, she came walking directly over to me as if she really wanted to talk to me. So I stood there with my arms folded. And when she got about a foot away, here comes that left jab.
I stuck the left jab out because it looked to me like you were about to make your move.
Yeah, you're going
to
make your move. And my wife is going to be defensive about it.
It looked like you were going to make your move.
Well, did she make her move?
Yes, she did, because that's where... I don't know, to be perfectly honest with you. I stuck the left hand out because it looked like she was going to make the move.
Yeah, then what?
Yeah, then what?
Well, you know what. Yeah.
You better believe I know what.
Yeah, you grabbed my wife's head and you uppercutted it.
You uppercutted me and then dropped me to the pavement.
All right, now I remember what happened only from the tweets that I was reading. And Bobby, you didn't deny any of this happening. You said that when you went toward Margaret... All right, I don't remember you saying that you threw a jab.
I said she threw the jab because I saw that.
Well, it looks like it's your word against the whole world.
Well, I'm not going to go there. But I do know that, Margaret, you even tweeted, and so did you, Bobby, that you headlocked her and hit her three times with the uppercut.
Well, she had me in a headlock, and she just went, as I remember, Steve, and you can correct me, boom, 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 boom.
Well, that's kind of fun. I think it was three quick ones. I think it was... Boom, boom, boom. And then she just opened her arm up and watched you hit the deck, hit the pavement face first.
Right, and that's when I believe I lost the tooth.
Well, yeah, it could very well be.
Yeah, and then you were tweeting out about how you were lisping for the rest of the weekend.
As a matter of fact, I kept the tape recording for my attorney. Do you have it there, Steve?
I got it right, yeah.
Listen to this.
Recorded by 2013.
So the boys are going to...
I'm going to get them to school.
Make 30 to get to school, because I can't do anything. I can't do shit.
That's pretty curse, baby.
I don't give a fuck. I can't do shit ever since that big bike. That's it. Now, that's what happened to me.
And I heard myself referred to as a big dyke.
I'm sorry, but you can well imagine my state of mind.
All right, so she did uppercut you. She did drop you to the pavement. But then something else happened.
Yes, I was waylaid by the two of them with baseball bats.
We all... No, can I...
Steve, I'll do it. After I got home and I put ice on my lip and I iced down the gum, I knew I'd have to go in and get a new tooth. I decided to call her back and have her meet us back there to talk it out.
Yeah, to talk it out. And
hold on, Margaret.
Yeah, well, just let me explain it.
Well, there's nothing to explain. They hit me with baseball bats.
Then Steve and I parked and hid behind a dumpster. She showed up.
What did you think was going to happen, Margaret?
I thought they were going to apologize.
You belched.
I what?
It sounds like you belched. She went like that.
Yeah, it sounded a little bit like it.
You know, for 5 cents.
Margaret, let's just get to the point here. So what did you think was going to happen?
I thought they wanted to apologize.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, right. Are you putting me on?
Well, but what happened was I stopped the car, I got out, and I looked around, and I was about to get back into my car, and I got hit by both of them with baseball bats. And I mean, they laid into me.
Yeah, we laid into you with plastic wiffle ball bats.
Yeah, you know, I mean...
I don't care what they were baseball bats and they hurt.
Now, wait a minute, are you telling me, when I heard that they attacked you with baseball bats, I thought it was a very serious, injurious event. That's what I heard, too.
We had plastic wiffle ball bats, and Margaret, for all of these years, has made it sound like they were baseball bats.
We never laid into you with a baseball bat. Did you think we're going to try to kill you? Jesus.
How would I know? You both seem crazy. You both seem batty as two coats of paint, as Phil's father used to say. And I'm standing there thinking I'm going to talk something out.
Batty as what?
Batty as two coats of paint.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
But don't ask me either. So they laid into you with wiffle ball bats. Was there injury?
Yes, there was injury. I was slapped and hit. I had bruising all over my face and my back. That's when I went home and Frank said, "What happened to you?" And I told him the tale, and that's when he called Frenchie in Montreal.
Oh,
yeah, see? And we wound up working the...
You wound up working where?
We wound up working... You know where we wound up working.
Where was it?
It was at the Ted's of Beverly Hills.
We had to go table to table.
Well, that was something that Frank worked out with Ted.
Now, I remember you guys were at Ted's of Beverly Hills. I thought you were bussing tables.
No, we weren't.
We had to go table to table and tell stories. And hi, we're Bobby and Steve Dooley. People would look at us and take pictures and everything.
So you were just there as like the some kind of a freak show going table to table.
That's it, pretty much, yeah.
Well, considering what could have happened, it wasn't that bad.
You know, Margaret, you had... I wish I saved those tweets, because the whole thing started when you were mouthing off to me, hitting on my husband.
Oh, my... I wouldn't hit on that clown, on that rube, on that redneck rube, that muscle-brained...
God almighty, that really hurts me and stings me deeply.
What do you care, Dooley?
Just does.
Well, let this sting. You're a musclehead. I wouldn't go near that... That guy you've got for a husband, Bobby, is good for one thing and one thing only. Talking like he's got a mental deficiency in the background of every conversation you have here.
Well, you know, I don't want to say, you know, that that's an accurate description.
But it's close. Is that it?
Well, I mean, every time you're on the phone...
Wait a minute, I want to say something.
This is exactly what they're talking about.
Well...
You're saying my husband sounds like what? Some raving mental deficient?
Pretty much, yes.
Yeah, get see, Miss Dooley.
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, what they say.
Shut up. All right. So, well, I don't know what that has to do with anything.
You accused me of hitting on him.
At the time, that's what I thought was going on. So then it escalates, Phil, until finally she says, "Let's talk about this." We go down to Ventura Boulevard. She drives all the way out from Beverly Hills and think that's a big deal. And as I get out of my car and I walk over to her to say, "Let's talk this out."
Oh, horse dung. You walked over to me with a very direct manner, and I knew you were going to throw a punch.
Bobby, just be honest. Were you getting ready to slug her?
What did I say to you?
What did she say to you already? She said...
Steve, would you shut your mental deficient trap?
God damn, man.
What is the question?
Weren't you getting ready to throw a punch?
I saw her make the move. And when she makes her move, I make my move.
Yeah, no one make move unless my wife's gonna make move.
That's right. She make move, I make move.
She make move, you make move.
I mean, if she makes a move...
She make a move, you...
I've got it, Steve. If she makes the move, I make the move. And I made a move before she made her move.
That's exactly right. You did.
But I saw you getting ready to make the move. Why were your arms folded across your chest? I'll tell you why. Because that's a perfect position from which to launch the headlock, the uppercut, and then what we call face pavement or the pavement drop.
What do you call it? You know something? Where is my husband, Frank?
Yeah, get him on the phone.
I want Frank in on this because Frank knows what happened.
He doesn't know what. Your husband was taking the last of his gonorrhea cures, and for.
What'd you do?
I hung up on that whore.
Margaret, don't ever touch the board.
I'm not going to listen to that.
Was taking the last of his gonorrhea cures.
For those of you that don't know, Frank Gray has a gender confusion as a result of untreated STD.
And we don't need to go into it any further than that.
Which he is not infected with anymore.
No, he's perfectly healthy and perfectly sane, except he can't...
Doesn't know a difference between a woman and a guy.
Yes, that's right.
All right, so let's... do you have Frank?
Do I have Frank? In what sense?
Do you have him on the phone?
Yeah, I'm going to call him up. I'm sorry.
Give me a hard time. World famous Phil Hendry show as we talk here with Bobby Dooley. Excuse me. We're talking here with Margaret Gray. We also have General Galen Shaw. We have Bud Dickman with us here. We have Robert Leonard. And we are getting into some specifics because, as you know, we are launching our the big bar fight showcase that is happening on our website. And we want you to go over to our Facebook fan page to vote on who you would think would win. A bar fight between Bobby and Margaret. I think that's the first bar fight. I hope I'm not blowing it for the guys.
Yeah, I think pretty much it is.
Okay. And you do that. You go over there, tell us why, and you're in the running for a free download from the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And also, of course, give us your email address so we can talk to you further about other things, other fun things, okay? Now, this is the first of many, so if you don't get in on this one, man, and they're going to be once a week...
Now, they were going to be every 3 days. I said to Phil, he's got to be out of his mind.
Every 3 days?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know exactly what the interest would be in it. But point being that they're going to be like once a week, and these are going to, as I say... I think they're going to be a lot of fun. I think it gives people an opportunity to partake in the, you know, the sort of the interest in sports that we have here on the show, as well as,
oh, horse dung, the interest in sports.
It's a sadistic exercise in seeing who's going to kick whose ass.
Get Frank Gray on line number 12.
What do you mean line number 12?
I mean number 2, sorry.
Number 12, man, I don't 12.
I know that.
Hey, Frank, how you been?
I'm better than Custer. What's going on?
Frank, we got the Dooleys. Are you going to call them back?
Yeah.
We've got the Dooleys, and they're making up a whole bunch of hooey about that confrontation.
Is this part of this bar fight thing, Phil?
Yeah.
Holy Christ on a crutch.
What's the problem?
There's nothing wrong with the bar fight, but you're going to get this Bobby Dooley. He and my wife got into it behind the sit and sleep, and there was... fisticuffs, and I don't know whether Steve Dooley was there or not. She might not have been. And the next thing I know, I got to call up Frenchie in Montreal just to give a quick squeeze play. And all she did was make a phone call to the Dooley residence, introduce herself as Frenchie from Montreal, about a 6'5" former Canadian Football League player. I think she played defensive end for the Montreal can't pronounce that, Phil.
Canadians.
What do you mean, Canadians?
That's the name of the team, the Montreal Canadiens.
No, it isn't. It's something fancier, isn't it?
What's the name of the football team in Canada, in Montreal?
You're asking the wrong guy.
It's the Canadiens.
No, that's the name of their hockey team. The football team is the Montreal... the Alouettes.
Oh, that's real badass. See that? And ever since Frenchie played for them, she's had a real hard-on. Because everyone said that she was a sissy because she played for the Alouettes.
Yeah, the Alouettes.
What's an Alouette?
It's a bird.
You don't remember the song? Alouette, Jean de Alouette, Alouette, Jean de Plumore, Jean de Plumore, like that. You know that song?
Oh, Christ.
Well, now my voice is stuck. Hold on for a minute.
Someone kick her in the back, will you?
Like this?
Oh, thank you very much, yeah. Yes, the Montreal Alouette.
Right, so Frenchie, she, I occasionally call her.
Get the Dooleys on the line right now.
All right, let me talk to, is this Bobby?
Ms. Dooley? Yeah, it's Frank Gray. Frank Gray. Frank Gray. Frank Gray.
What is it with you, bud? Just get caught every time.
Yes, Frank.
Hi, Bobby. It's Frank Gray. Listen, Margaret was telling me that you and him had a disagreement over what happened there at the sit and sleep.
Well, no, there's no disagreement, Frank. What happened at the sit and sleep was that she sucker punched, she headlocked me. She gave me 3 quick uppercuts. I lost 2 teeth. And then naturally, to defend myself, Steve and I went after her with wiffle ball bats.
I never heard about a wiffle ball bat. Is Dooley there?
I'm right here, Miss Gray.
Did you try to take my wife out with a wiffle ball bat?
Yep.
Well, you are dumber than you look, Dooley. There's no... You don't take out my wife with a wiffle ball bat. Either come loaded for bear or stay home and paddle it until such time as you're summoned.
Well, what are you saying?
What I'm saying is...
See, Frank knows the truth. All right. You, well, do you know the truth?
I don't know what they did. They hit you with a wiffle ball bat.
You know that I told you it was a baseball bat.
Yeah, baseball, as in wiffle ball.
Okay, so, but she had a lot of bruising.
He got home, and I saw that he had bruising all over him. That's when I said, well, look, I can get Frenchie to cool this out.
Now, this Frenchie called us up, and I heard him say, you know, bonjour, mademoiselle. This is Frenchie in Montreal, and you're supposed to go and report to Ted's of Beverly Hills and put on some kind of a floor show. And I said, who are you? And he said, I'm Frenchie from Montreal, and don't even worry about it. I could put a shoebox in your car, but I won't.
Yeah, that's what he said.
She didn't say that. That's bullshit.
Boy, Frank, that's pretty...
Nah, that's bullshit.
That's what it sounded like to us.
Well, what do you mean it sounded like that to you?
That's what he should have said.
Well, that's...
What are you people taught? You are the dumbest human beings. I don't even know why it is I even socialize with you.
But Frenchie did what I told her to do. She called you up and said, you get report to Ted's of Beverly Hills and put on the floor show. What'd you do?
Oh, I went table...
Calm down, Dooley, calm down.
We went table to table and told anecdotes from our lives.
Right.
Yeah, but some of it had to be juicy, right?
We told everyone about Steve not being able to get it up when pork's being barbecued.
Yeah, so...
Shut up.
You know, if Margaret doesn't do it, I'll come down there, bud, and they'll find pieces of you for a couple of years, then they'll give up looking, and then 10 years from now, they'll find the head, and they'll continue to give up looking, and then 20 years from now...
We get the idea.
They'll find the legs.
Yeah, they'll find a leg.
Yeah, try to be violent with me.
That's right.
So, Frank, this Frenchie from Montreal never threatened any violence.
Are you kidding me? I'm an attorney at law. What the hell do you think is...
Well, I felt like it.
Oh, you're a chicken shit, Dooley. Always have been, okay? Frenchie told me that she told you to get down to Ted's of Beverly Hills, put on a floor show. She said that the wife, Bobby, she said he was mouthy.
You better believe I was mouthy. He said he was telling us to get down there, and if I've got to do the hoochie-coo and the funky chicken tooch.
Yeah, my wife do the funky chicken.
Well, I'll have to check and find out if she told you to go down and do the funky chicken. I can tell you right now.
What is the funky chicken?
You don't even want to discuss that right now. Not in your state of health.
What does that mean? All right, Frank, so...
What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
All right, so, Frank, thank you for just clarifying some of those things. Margaret was hit with wiffle ball bats. We got it.
Uh-huh.
Frank Gray, ladies and gentlemen, on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. So now we have the bar fight set up between the two of you, and I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I think it'll give people an opportunity to vent how they feel things would go.
Well, the one thing that I think is wrong is that I think you prejudiced the argument in favor of Margaret.
How?
Because by saying that Steve and I laid into you with wiffle ball bats makes us look like we're wimps.
Yeah, it makes us look like a wimp, and that you kick our ass.
Well, you know, if the shoe fits.
All right, well, I don't think that that's the case, okay? And maybe we shouldn't have brought up the old fight, but I do not think that's the case. And let's face it, you know, everybody has their opinion. There are separate opinions on these things. We'll find out what they are. You go to our fan page at facebook.com/PhilHendryFans and check into the bar fight section there between the first fight between Margaret and Bobby Dooley at philhendryshow.com. So I thank you very much, Mr. and Mrs. Dooley, for being with us.
Just remember, Phil, that what she did was unconscionable, uppercutting me. Play it again.
Oh, Bobby, what? You know, you want to make yourself sound like an idiot.
No, play it again, Steve. I don't know what... I don't... Whatever you do, okay? Because I'm going to kick the shit out of it if I go down. Now, you hear what I sound like? That was four.
It sounds to me like she made the recording like a half hour ago.
That's what I was going to say.
All right, we're going to be back on the Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Steve Bozell feeling bad for Steve Bannon. Then we got Don Mixa, and people making a big deal out of that United Airlines passenger that got pitched off the plane. We'll find out about that, too. World famous Phil Henry Show. Slaps Comedy Club with some great, great entertainment for you. We're going to have Jerry Dobell, Marsha Wicker, and the Duck Twins. That's this coming Friday night. Slaps Comedy Club. Great laughs, great entertainment, and only a two-drink minimum. Two-drink minimum and five dinners. That's for one person. If two people come in, a four-drink minimum and 10 dinners. What, do you think we're getting a break on that? That's right, Slaps Comedy Club downtown. Don't know how to swim? Come on over to Bob's Swimming School. We'll put you in a nice, soft, little shallow pool, and you can splash around in there all you want. You can stay there all summer. Yes, Bob's Swimming School is for you. For you people that just want to splash around, bring yourself a rubber duck or anything that, you know, is inflatable. You can sit on your ass and float around the pool. Bob's Swimming School. Do we really teach you how to swim or just to float on a rubber duck? The latter. Bob's Swimming School. Also teach you how to pretend like you're surfing. Close your eyes and go, yeah! We'll splash water on you. It's great. Welcome back, world famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. All right, let me get on the line here with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Steve is a longtime Trump supporter. And all this stuff, I gotta tell you,
you know, you ought to tell people how you've been thinking about it and how you've been feeling about it.
I'm gonna. I mean, all of this, the stuff's been going on the last few days is I am at my wit's end, man.
What do you mean by that?
I'm tired of fighting with people. I'm tired of being angry about stuff. I'm tired of, it's going to be 4 years of Donald Trump, and either we find a better way. It doesn't mean that I got to agree with this guy, but I'm not going to get tensed up and crazy every single move the guy makes. God knows. There's all kinds of things you could disagree with him on. I want to enjoy my life, you know?
All right, Henry. Well, I mean, I concur with that. But then, you know, I supported Donald Trump.
Well, I don't think you should give up the fight because there's a lot to stand for.
I know that. But we got to find a way to do it and not die in the process, okay? Because everybody's going to have a damn heart attack. That's the way it's feeling to me. Let's go over to Stephen Bozell. He is at his home in Corona, California, at the pond, Steve, huh?
Yes, sir. I'm trying to collect my thoughts.
And you're why do you say that?
Why do you have to collect your thoughts, Steve?
Well, just what you just heard, what Mr. Henry was saying. It's been a long day, been a tough day, and I've seen some pretty vicious shots being taken at President Trump, talking about him being being inconsistent and all that.
Well, the guy was inconsistent.
I know, but they keep bringing up all these tweets when he tweeted out that, you know, don't go into Syria, and then now he's tweeting out that we should. I think it's unfair because we understand and we know what he wants to do.
Is what?
He wants to go into Syria, but he does not right away, you know.
Well, when is he going to go into Syria?
It will make itself known to you. He'll make himself known to you, don't worry.
All right, well, that's exactly the kind of thing that kind of scares me because it's almost as if he's being elevated to a demigod status.
No, that's ridiculous. Totally ridiculous.
Well, that's how it sounds, Steve.
You know, talk about he'll make himself known. That's almost like he's going to appear.
Yeah, he does. For me, he does. You know.
What do you mean for you, he do?
For he does.
All right. What do you mean for you, he does?
I can see him suddenly materialize. Forget it. You guys are never going to understand it.
Let's get off of this weird stuff, okay? I want to ask you, Steve, about the struggles of Steve Bannon.
Yeah, that to me hurts. It hurts bad. Steve Bannon come on to try to give guidance and direction to the Donald Trump campaign because he was out there kind of, you know, floating around. Now, I don't know what Trump says. He's his own strategist. I think Donald Trump is a brilliant man, but I don't believe for a second that he come up with all the strategy for his campaign. Hold on. Shut that thing up.
You're going after that squirrel again, aren't you?
I'm going out with a squirrel again.
No, you're going after the squirrel.
Got to ignore it, Steve.
All right. I just remember a time when I could sit here at the pond and enjoy the pond and enjoy the frogs and, you know, the crickets and everything. Now I got the very rude.
Forget it.
All right. So Steve Bannon, I think, gave himself, you know, body and soul to the Trump campaign. And now it looks, Mr. Henry, like he's going to be marginalized and pushed out. And I think it's wrong.
Now, why do you say that? I mean, I you know, look, at Trump realizes that there's a battle going on between, because I heard what he said. He said, they got to work it out or I will.
That's right. And that's going on between Jared Kushner and Steve Bannon. And up until Kushner started, you know, excuse me for saying this, but up until, you know, Kushner started sticking his nose in and nosing around and, you know, what's this, what's that, poking his nose in and asking people what stuff was. You know, things were going good. Bannon was, you know, supporting the president.
Well, you don't know that things were going good. We don't know anything about that. That's what we were hoping would take place.
I mean, what do you think is going to happen when you're a dude like Steve Bannon? You've mixed it up in your life. You've got, you know, you've mixed it up. And now here comes this phase.
Watch it.
Well, you saw how the man dressed.
Yes, everybody saw the way Jared Kushner dressed. It wasn't the most flattering look. But the fact of the matter is, that's how he dressed, and he was out there talking to the military on behalf of the president.
All right, and so on behalf of the president, he goes out and says, "Yeah, here I am, and I got on tight pants and a blue blazer, and how do you like me now?" And I just think,
I don't think he was saying, "How do you like me now?" I think he was just there for the president. He might have been dressed inappropriately. What is your point exactly?
Yeah, you know, Steve, you don't help yourself when you go down this road. Like one guy looks butch, the other guy doesn't. I mean, they're obviously both men have a base of power.
Well, okay. They both have a base of power. How did Jared Kushner get the base of power?
Because he's the son-in-law.
Who said that?
I did, Phil Hendry.
Oh, sorry. Because he's the what?
He's the son-in-law.
Because he's related to the guy.
Look, man. Steve, this is Robert. If you are the son-in-law of someone...
Yep.
You're going to... Naturally, that guy is going to favor you because you're married to that guy's daughter, man. He's married to the man's daughter. So he's going to give him every opportunity to succeed, because not only him and his daughter, it's also his grandchildren.
That's a really good point. It's in the family.
That's the thing. And Bannon, in a lot of ways, I think he should have seen it coming. God, it just...
Well, what do you think should happen now?
I think what should happen now is that Bannon should go into Trump and say, I got to give you the ultimatum now. It's either him or me, and if it's me... that I'm going to be out there operating, and I don't know if you ever saw a movie that was based upon a book, and the book was called Heart of Darkness.
Apocalypse Now.
And the movie,
Yeah, it's a pretty well-known movie based on that book.
I wanted to say it, though.
Well, you didn't get to say it, man. The general said it.
God.
Look, at Steve, we know the book is Heart of Darkness, Apocalypse Now. What's that got to do with Steve Bannon?
I'll tell you what it's got to do with Steve Bannon. Steve Bannon, now the constraints are off. He can go out into the bush and operate without any decent constraint. He can go up there with his people, and he can operate the way he wants to operate. And I think one of the people maybe in his crosshairs is going to be Donald Trump.
Yeah. I heard that already.
Hey, what do you mean, yeah?
What's he going to do, man? He's going to look up some dirt on the guy, and you think he's got dirt on the guy?
Well, I mean, he was a part of his campaign.
I don't think he knows anything. I don't think he knows anything. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of that Russia stuff, they're talking about this Carter Page guy.
Yeah, you don't think that's anywhere near Bannon?
No, not a chance. That guy doesn't look like he's got the time for it. He doesn't look like the kind of guy that's got the patience for it. I don't doubt that some stuff was going on.
Well, if you think that stuff's going on with the Russians, and Bannon was the head of the whole shooting match, why wouldn't he be?
I mean, I agree with Phil. No way. Would Bannon do something like that?
I don't think that that's the case. I just don't think he had the inclination. I think that was another project that some other jackass was involved in. I think Bannon was there trying to talk about policy. You know, his weird way of how he views America.
Well, he's now... If.
Yeah, slow down, man.
I'm sorry. If Bannon gets fired and he goes into the wild, goes out in the bush...
What do you mean, goes out into the bush?
I'm talking about it figuratively.
You keep talking like this guy's going to go out there to the bush like Colonel Kurtz. And the next thing you know, some guy's going to have a spear right through him. Is that what you're talking about?
No, I'm not talking about that.
You know, you're going to let your Dennis Hopper saying, hey, man, he's out there with his people. Did you ever see that guy, Phil? Did you see the Apocalypse Now?
Yeah, I did.
Has had absolutely nothing to do with Vietnam. Nothing whatsoever.
You saw that, right?
I saw what?
The movie?
Yes, I saw it. It was some ass... And I got back from the knob, some friend of mine said, hey, you don't see this Apocalypse Now. Francis, whatever the guy is, it's all about Vietnam. I said, all right. And I go down there, and from the very first opening scene, None of it made any sense.
That was not the Vietnam you were in.
Are you kidding me? Guys can't control their men. All kinds of, all kinds of mutiny going on. All kinds of guys, what did they say? They were dropping LSD and that kind of deal.
Well, everybody knows they dropped LSD in Vietnam.
Well, I didn't see any of it. I'll tell you that right now.
Sam, gentlemen, you didn't see any people smoking weed?
I heard about guys smoking weed. I didn't see anybody. Nobody smoked any around me, I'll tell you that. I would have put him on the end of a spear, speaking of Colonel Kurtz.
Well, I mean, I'm not talking about any of that.
Well, that was that Apocalypse Now, that nut. What was the guy?
You're talking about Dennis Hopper's character.
Yeah, whoever that photographer was. And then they had that guy Kurtz come over, and they had the guy's head. Remember that? Dropped it?
Yeah, that was bitching. Dropped it right there in the guy's lap.
Yeah, that real bitching. The whole thing was about as screwy as it could be, a real weird-ass festival. I don't know why. As far as I'm concerned, the theater I went to see it at, they still owe me the money for that thing.
Well, you know, General, a lot of stuff happened in Vietnam that you don't know nothing about.
And you do, huh?
Yes, I do. And I know that you were there and I wasn't there, but there's stuff I know.
Well, what do you know, Steve?
I know that Colonel Kurtz is very similar to what Steve Bannon can do. He can go into the bush, stay there for weeks on end, his own people bringing him food.
Are you talking about literally?
No, I'm saying figuratively.
Well, you're making it sound like this is a literal thing.
No, I'm just saying figuratively speaking.
Well, then say that.
All right, figuratively speaking, Steve Bannon could go into the bush, paint himself up, strip completely naked, and then use the various native paints that they have available to him. He could have one of the witch doctors paint him up.
And you're talking figuratively?
Yes, yes, this is all symbolic. He's not going to actually do it. He's sitting in his apartment in Washington, D.C.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God, man.
Go ahead. What?
He'll be out there in the wild, paint himself in war paint, wear some kind of support on the testicles. He'll fashion spears and put poison on the end of it. And then at night, as they light a bonfire, he'll dance about it and saying, yeah, we're going to go get, Trump. Just like in Lord of the Rings, they said, kill the pig, spill his blood. They'll be talking about, yeah, Trump, let's go get him.
And this is all figuratively just a kind of a symbolic thing you're saying here.
Yes, sir.
You know what? I think you need help. I think you need 6 months in the best facility that your wife can find.
You know what?
Hey, everybody, break it up. Steve, come on, man. Act like a guy that's got 2 feet in the real world, talking about, painting himself with pig's blood.
If it's symbolic, Steve, you don't have to get into that much detail.
Well, what's it all scaring you and everything?
No. The only thing I'm scared of is I'm frightened for you and your mental health. All right, Steve Bozell.
My mental health? Oh, my God.
Steve Bozell is with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show as we talk about Steve Bannon and his leaving the Trump White House and what that will mean to Steve Bannon. What will that mean to Donald Trump? And is the blood between these two men so bad as Steve just said, Bannon's going to figuratively go out into the bush, paint himself with pig's blood, fashion a spear, wear a loincloth.
You can't expect us to say that that's just symbolic when you do so much detail.
I think you guys are letting your imaginations run away with you.
We're letting our imaginations. Whoa, man.
Everything you said sounds real.
Get a phone call, bud.
Yeah, I've got one here from Tapoima.
Where is Tapoima?
I mean Pacoima. It's Dave.
Dave Olive on the line. Dave, hi. It's Phil Hendry and the rest of the gang. How you doing?
Oh, hey, Mr. I wanted to say, first of all, I'm really enjoying the program here tonight, and I wanted to say hello, Steve. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Dave.
Steve, look, as you know, I'm studying law enforcement at L.A. Canyon College.
Uh-huh.
Well, first thing that we're taught is how to defuse a situation if we come upon a situation that needs to be defusement,
Well, I mean, what do you mean defusement?
I'm talking about... I'm hearing that squirrel, man.
See, that's right there, Mr. Henry. He hears the squirrel. He knows the squirrel's there. Am I to be the one that ignores it?
Yes. Yes, you do.
I'm sorry, Mr. I didn't mean to upset Mr. Bozell.
You're not upsetting me, son.
But anyway, the first thing we learn is a police officer says how to defuse a situation. So if I come upon a scene where Steve Bannon is crouched in the bush... Let's say he's, crouched in the bush and he's going number two,
Why would you humiliate him like that?
If you see the man's living out in the bush,
I said symbolically.
Okay, but he's taking a
symbolic number two.
Well, I mean, you sound...
Yeah, see, even Dave notices she's being sarcastic. A symbolic number two.
Yeah, it is kind of sarcastic, Miss Gray.
I'm trying to move this along. Both of you guys sound like you belong in straitjackets.
Hey, look, what the young man's saying...
Well, let me finish. You come upon him, he's taking a symbolic number two, and he put it on the symbolic war paint. Now, are you going to defuse that situation? What would you do?
I'd allow him...
Just calm down, sir.
I'd allow him to finish taking a dump.
That's exactly right. So you got to let this play out. You got to let it play out and play out. Just keeps on playing out, okay, until the end of the play. And then you look at it and you go, okay, you know, I survived, man. And that's all you can do, you know.
What kind of advice is that, man? That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
What are you talking about? I'm trying to give the guy advice.
You're saying the guy just let it play out and let it play out.
I think I understand what you're saying. You're saying... All I can do is just watch as Trump just starts to disintegrate into a wild man. Is that right?
Yeah, because you're the wild man too. But you want to hold on to you want to keep your stuff packed tight. And Trump is going to disintegrate into a wild man. And, you know, it'll be his tribe against yours.
Yeah, well, that's what I thought. And I wanted to keep my powder dry and my you know what hard. But...
Well, it sounds like it's going to be a tribal war.
Oh. Now, Ms. Gray, you know I'm very disappointed in the sarcasms because of the way that you...
Oh, listen, David, I've heard enough of this crap, and I'm asking Phil if we can move on. And, Steve, if I were you, I'd give up on Steve Bannon. He's not God Almighty. He's a big, burly, rather unkempt and ruffled political strategist... who is not all that impressive. He's impressive when you stick him in the White House. That's what is impressive about him.
Well, you know, that's a good point, Mr. Bozell.
No, I'm sorry. That's bullcrap all the way down the line.
Well, then why do you have to make this man into some sort of a mythic creature crouched in the weeds taking a...
Yeah, he's crouched in the weeds and he's taking a dump.
Boy, I tell you, that hurts.
Yeah, that really hurts, Mr. Henry.
What hurts? That's what you guys were just saying.
Yeah, but for you to articulate it, you know.
You articulated it in ways that wasn't good.
All right, well, thanks very much, guys.
I'd like to say it.
Steve Bozell and...
I can hear that damn squirrel. You know, he should bring out a pest removal company.
Dan, he's done that. He's had pest removal out there. He had the Orkin man out there.
Yeah, he even had out a exterminator. You know,
I don't think the exterminators for animals like that is good. You can trap them. You know?
Oh, great. Trap them and then what? Eat them?
Well.
Yeah. See?
Fine. We'll be back, Don Mixon, to talk with us about United Airlines. Are they making a real big deal out of this thing? You know, a lot of people think that United Airlines is on the verge of going out of business. That's how bad. That's how bad this thing is being received, them forcibly removing that cat from the aircraft. Who knows, dude?
The world famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. We'll be right back.
You know, just because you're visually impaired doesn't mean you can't have a real life. If you're blind or going blind, if you use one of those walking sticks, if you have on sunglasses, if you bump into walls, it doesn't mean you can't go to Bob Koshner's Private Eye School. Didn't think you could do that, did you? Well, you probably can't. But Bob Koshner's willing to give you a chance. Bob Koshner's Private Eye School. Bob Koshner's Private Eye School. Discounts for blind people. Come into Bob Koshner's Private Eye School, and you'll get your very own autographed magnifying glass. Stick your eye on that at Bob Koshner's. Bob Koshner's Private Eye School.
I'm a detective.
Looks like you can see 2020.
That's right. I see right through you, man.
Do you have a 3, 4, or 5-year-old little girl who wants to be a runway model? Brianna Toshner's Finishing School is for you. Bring your dainty little girl down to Brianna Toshner's Finishing School. She can put on the patent leather shoes, wear the cute little dresses, and walk down that runway and someday maybe win a beauty pageant and bring home the big dollars. We'll teach her how to be a real runway model real good. At Brianna Toshner's Little Girl Runway School, bring her on in. We'll teach her the finer elements of how to drink tea in a very dainty way with her little pinky finger up in the air. We'll teach her how to walk very straight with a book on the top of her head. All that stuff that models do and more at Brianna Toshner's finishing school for three-year-old girls wearing the little patent leather shoes and going into those baby beauty pageants.
Brianna Toshner gets it done.
Bring your kid in now.
Special discounts available.
At Brianna Toshner's finishing school, bring your little daughter in with her cute little bow on her head and have her come in wearing a bonnet or something like that, just so she looks cute.
Brianna Toshner.
Say the words, the magic words in runway modeling.
Brianna.
Brianna. Brianna.
Toshner.
Yahoo!
Badass.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show from the El Pacifico in Southern California. Quite a jam-packed day. I don't know if we'll have much time for Don Mixa, but, you know, Phil, I think it's worth the effort.
Well, getting Don on right now, because Don's got some, just a couple of viewpoints on the United Airlines situation. I'll tell you, man, it's bad, and it can only get worse unless somebody really gets a handle on this, because I don't think... And Don's with us on the Newsmaker line in Seattle, Washington. Don, I don't think, in all of my experience, I have ever seen a big company like United Airlines so badly damaged by one incident.
I got to tell you, Phil, it's a very good point you're making there. I mean, they have, you know, you said it, very badly damaged, and it could continue. The way they manhandled that guy on the plane was misunderstood by Sony, because one of the things that happened was they make a very big deal out of these things. They don't understand how airlines work. And I think that once you do understand how an airline works, you'll be very, very well equipped to understand how an airline works, okay?
Well, yeah, we understand how an airline works. That's your point. So what are you saying?
What I'm saying, General, is that that man that was taken off that airplane, yes, he was grabbed. Yes, he was manhandled and mauled. But you have to realize the instinct, the natural instinct, all right, of an airport police officer or a member of that cabin crew, the natural instinct is to grab that individual and get them clear of the area as quickly as possible. Because what's happening, Phil, is that person has now begun to challenge the authority of the cabin crew as well as the in-flight officers, and you have to clear the area. And that means that person, get him out of there.
So clearing the area means get that guy out of there.
Well, the first thing you have to say, yeah, I want to clear the area. Everyone involved in air travel understands what that means. We have a threat.
What do you mean you have a threat? This was a man who was told to leave.
He was a threat, General, to the overall functioning of that airline. They needed to get him off that aircraft so that other personnel could get on board and could travel to St. Louis. And what happened was the man refused, and that's when most likely, and I didn't hear the tape or see any of the coverage, but if I'm not mistaken, probably the head flight attendant said, put one finger in the air and said, let's clear the area. And that's when they descended on this guy. And the instinct is to grab him by the neck or the throat and to drag him out into an area where, in case he has an explosive on him,
Oh, for God's sake, I didn't explode. This was a man, a doctor, traveling.
They didn't know that. All they knew is they said, get out, and the guy sat there and stared at them. Right then, you have to make a move.
So, in other words, when the guy sat and stared at them,
that guy, they say, clear the area, because he didn't get up right away.
Well, Robert, here it is. You're sitting there.
That's ridiculous.
You know what? You're sitting there, and someone comes up to you and says, get out, and you stare at them. That's 1 second off the clock toward an explosion, that maybe a bomb is in your slacks, maybe you've got a bomb. You know, you don't know if you got a bomb. What if you got a bomb, okay?
What if you got a bomb? So what?
So it blows. Oh, wow. Hey, Joe, I'm talking to this guy, Hendry.
Hey, right here, okay, Don? We don't have a lot of time.
I'm sorry. The name's Don, by the way. It's not Dan, Don.
I know that.
All right, well, what do you want to know?
Here's what I want to know. That man was grabbed and thrown off of that aircraft, and you're trying to make it sound like they were safety conscious and that this is a standard operating procedure.
I'm saying, Phil, there's a certain kind of training that the flight attendant will say, I got to clear the area. And
I've heard this term now, clear the area, about 15 times. It sounds about as asinine as when we have that Jay Santos on, you know, Phil, and he says you have to spread.
I don't know any Jay Santos. I'm talking from my experience as a journalist and having covered aviation for some 31 years. And I will tell you.
You haven't covered aviation for 30. A professor.
A prick? You called.
No, he didn't say that.
Well, it sounded like it. It said.
I said you were a professor.
I was a very good professor until I got sick to my stomach of looking at all these students staring back at me with a bug-eyed stare. And I used to call it the bulkhead stare. I'd say, what is with you people? And they're like, they just stare. And I said, you know what? The bulkhead stare's got to go. And that's where I cleared out, and I cleared the area.
You left the campus of the university.
That's right. I cleared the area, and...
Well, thank God you did clear the area. That's one less nut they've got up there.
That's very hurtful, General.
Well, I'm sorry. I don't understand what you're trying to say.
I'm saying that that man was dragged off that plane because the instinct of a flight attendant is honed to a razor-sharp edge, like the Doberman Pinscher, like the German Shepherd, like a rat in an alley. The flight attendant, you mess with any part of their training, you go ahead and point at them and go, ha, ha, ha. Try that sometime. Point at a flight attendant and go, ha, ha, ha. Pretend like you're laughing. They will be on you. They'll have one hand completely over your face, the other one at the back of your belt, and while your face is being squeezed, because that will immobilize a man, they'll carry you down the jetway, and they'll lay up a high heel right into your testicles. Now, that's the truth.
That sounds like the most idiotic thing I've ever heard.
You want to say that again?
No, she doesn't need it.
It sounds idiotic.
Well, that is...
So they put one hand... I don't understand that.
The flight attendant... One of the moves that a flight attendant makes, Phil, and I'm sure they did this with this gentleman on the plane, that's why his face was bloody, is they use what we call the alien grip. You've seen it. Where the entire hand... Shit.
You know, you're saying some stuff that I think we ought to hear him out.
I'm telling you ought to hear me out.
I'm going to talk about the alien grip.
That's when one hand covers the face. You've got the entire face gripped. Now you can do anything. You can move left, right, up, down with it. You can literally palm someone's head. And you can take them outside and drop them from two flights up. And watch them, in a stunned look on their face, hit the cement, roll over, stare up at you, two flights up.
Yeah.
Give you a thumbs up.
I've heard about enough.
Margaret, I can assure you, this is absolute...
All right, we thank you very much.
So, why do you have these people on if you're going to hang up on them?
I had... Bud, what was that guy's story?
You know Don Mixa. We've known Don for a long time.
All right, we've known Don for a long time, but I had no idea that he'd slowly lost his mind.
I didn't know it either. All he said is he's going to come on and talk about clearing out the area, and I said, well, okay.
He said he's going to come on and talk about clearing out the area.
That doesn't sound like a very good resume for an interview.
What did he say, son?
He said, I want to come on and talk about a United airline. And I said, what about? He said, it's obvious to me what they didn't do is clear the area. And they didn't do the basket, the alien grip to palm a guy's face.
What?
He said he didn't do the alien grip to palm a guy's face.
And that sounded perfectly normal to you, huh?
No problem with you, man.
Not no problem with me.
That sounded perfectly normal to you.
Well, yeah, it sounded like a security measure.
A security measure. Palm a guy's face.
I'll do it. This is the world famous Phil Hendry Show. Remember that. It's not mine. It's his. Executive produced by Phil Hendry. Remember that. He did it. I didn't. On all rights reserved on podcast one. That's it.
I'll tell you, if you don't clear the area, you palm a guy's face.